السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continuing with the biography of Sayyiduna Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه. So another صفت of Sayyiduna Uthman رضي الله عنه was his tawadu, his humility. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى describes the faithful servants. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. The faithful slaves of the most merciful Allah are those who walk on the earth in humility, هونا. And when the foolish address them, meaning with bad words, they reply back with mild words of gentleness. People swearing them, shouting them, they don't respond in the like manner. They will still maintain their dignity and they will reply with mildness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this tawadu, this humility, one of the main characteristics of true mu'mineen. So we must also check ourselves, that how much of humility do I have in me? So under normal circumstances, when everything is going according to plan, then it's very easy to be cool and calm and humble. When you are amongst your friends, people that you like, then it's very nice, very easy to adopt, a humble attitude. But what we need to check is when things go against my temperament. Things go against my temperament. Somebody does something that irritates me. Somebody does something that provokes me. Now, how do I behave? In that situation, how do I behave? Right? But that is when our true colors will show. True colors will show at that time. So Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu ta'ala also had this beautiful sifat. And obviously this stems from sincerity towards Allah ta'ala. Right? It is narrated by Abdullah Rumi, rahimahullah, that Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, he used to fetch his wuzu water himself. Now we can't understand this because we just go to the tap. Now for them they had to go and fetch the water, whether it was from a well, whether it was from a water pitcher, whatever, they had to go and fetch the water. So generally, people have slaves, the zamana of slaves. So the slave will go and get all that ready for you. Or some people have khuddam, they have attendants, people who want to attend to them, make their khidmat, etc. Right? So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, he used to go and get his water himself. So it was said to him that why don't you tell your slaves, your servants, tell them to do all this. I mean, he's the Khalif, and Uthman Don was a very wealthy man also. So he said that, see, the night is also for them to rest. They are resting. Why should I disturb them? So this is an example of the mercy that was characteristic of Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Even though he was older and he was of a high social status, he would help himself at night and not wake up the servants, even though Allah Ta'ala had placed the servants at the khidmat of their masters. Then too, he wouldn't wake them up. The Muslim to whom Allah Ta'ala has given servants should remember that the servant is also a human being, just like him. He also has limited energy. He also has feelings. So he should respect his feelings and let him rest fully when he sleeps. Person is tired, never mind, he's the servant. Let him rest also, he also needs some rest. Next day his work won't be so difficult for him. A sign of his humility and respect for the uncle of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that if he passed by him, Usman radiallahu anhu, if he was riding a mount, and Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was going past, he would stop and he will dismount. He won't sit on the conveyance. he will dismount and he will wait until Abbas Rinnan has walked past and gone a distance, then only he'll mount his animal. That's the respect he showed, just because this is the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although he was the Khalifa at the time, but he showed this respect. This respect, not disrespect. He showed this type of respect. There's an incident that comes to my mind here you're talking about servants like slaves, etc. There's an incident that comes to my mind between employer and employee. Right? Some years ago, very long back, so I had to attend a nikah in one town. So I went there and I was sleeping arrangements for me were made at a certain person's house. That person was the father of the bride, the bride's father. So I was supposed to be spending the night at his house. So in the night now, after all the doom dam and everything was over, so I went there to this house where I was now supposed to sleep. So I went there, and now there were a lot of, it's a long driveway and a lot of vehicles in the driveway. So I parked one side now, all the cars parking one side the driveway. So I parked there and I went. So the owner of the house now, so he said, "Mama, where you parked?" So I said, "No, I'm parked over there." "No, no, no, you have to bring your car inside." "I said, no, don't worry, it's fine. It's parked there, it's fine." So there was a person, a Muslim young man, who was working for this brother. This brother was very wealthy at that time. He was working for him. So he calls that person. Not, it's late night. It's late at night. And he's telling that person, "Right, just take all these car keys, or move all those cars, bring Morana's car in the front." Now, you know what a job that is, right? For one person now, you go start this car, take it out. Start that car, take it out. All, then take my car, bring it to the front. Then bring all those cars back now. So I'm telling this person, "Boy, don't worry about it. My car is fine there. It's no problem. Just leave it there where it is." "No, no, no. You go stop Morana's car. Go." So then I said, "Let me go and help this brother. You know, go alone now. Let me go and assist him. Maybe I can help him." "No, no, no, Morana, you sit here. You sit here. You don't, you sit here." So I'm telling this person, I said, "Bhai, it's late now. Why are you troubling this man's life? Move all these cars and everything. What are they getting paid for? They must work." This was a statement he made. "What they're getting paid for? They must work." "No, bhai, are you paying him? He's working for you in your business. Just out of loyalty to you, because it's a wedding in the family. The person is here, he's making a khidmat, but he's not employed for this. He's not employed for this. And are you going to be paying him midnight now, late in the night, all this overtime and everything? Are you going to be paying him for moving all these cars?" I didn't tell him all that. But all this is in my head at that time. You know, it wasn't long. It wasn't long. This person, he lost everything he had. He lost everything he had. Today he's in prison. As we speak, he's in prison. Right? He has nothing. And he is in jail. That manager, worker of his, that Muslim brother who was working for him, today Allah Ta'ala has blessed him. He got his own business. Right? He owns his own home. And he got some other one too. Flats or something on rent. You know, like investment kind of thing. And he's living his life. You know. So, must always remember this. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. You know the bucket? You put the bucket in the well. It's empty. It's going down. Downhill, empty. But when it's coming up, then it's full. It's heavy. It's coming up, it's full. So life goes like that. You know? In English they say what goes around comes around. You know? The wheel must turn. So when Allah Ta'ala keeps you in a position of authority, of good health, of wealth, whatever, never become arrogant. Never become arrogant. No matter what condition you are in, always maintain your humility. Always be humble, always maintain good akhlaq. See, Sayyidina Uthman Radhiyallahu Anhu is the khadif. Right? But he's not now throwing his weight to say, no, I'm the khadif. Yeah, these khadims must wake up now. Where's the ghulam? He must wake up, get my wuzu water and all that. No. He's still compassionate. They also need to rest. They're working whole day. It's rest time now. It's sleeping time. Let them rest. Right? Then look at his respect for Abbas Rinnan, despite him being the khadif. Right? And now, compare that to the attitude of this person. He's not even a khadif or anything. He's just a wealthy businessman at that time he was. Right? But the pride now. The pride, the arrogance. Right? One is, if he did it in a nice way. Say for example now, he felt now that no, this person came to my house, now he must, his car must be parked nicely, he's my guest. Right? So no problem with that. But then he could have went out with that person. Right? Say, my come, you know, man, let's bring Maulana's car inside. And I'll help you. Come, let's make maaf. And now I'm troubling you this hour. Right? That man too, his heart would have felt nice. Right? But to treat the person like dirt. They just go and bring Maulana's car, take all his cars out, bring Maulana's car, bring all those cars inside. And it's late, man. It's late. And then, to make a statement, what are they getting paid for? They must work? Now this is arrogance, right? Arrogance. So, even if you don't get hiding in the dunya, but if we die like that with this arrogant kind of mindset, how are we going to answer to Allah Ta'ala? How are we going to answer to Allah Ta'ala? End of the day, the fact that all of us are servants of Allah. We are all human beings. We are all the servants of Allah. So we are all equal. We are all equal. The other things that we may have, wealth, health, nobility, whatever, all that is given to us by Allah. So why must we become arrogant over those things? Those are all gifts from Allah. So if Allah Ta'ala never gives somebody else, in His wisdom He never gives somebody else that particular thing, and He gave me that particular thing, why must I become arrogant? Understand? So always maintain humility. Be humble. Gee. Then modesty. Modesty, haya, what we call haya, you know. Modesty was one of the most famous characteristics of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala had adorned him this very high level of haya. It was a source of goodness and barakah, kindness and compassion. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was one of the most modest of men. Very, very high level of haya he had. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullahi mentioned that Uthman radiallahu an and his intense modesty, speaking about his intense modesty, he would be in a house with the door closed, right? But he would not remove his garment in order to take a bath. Even his inner bathroom, it's closed, now nobody there, right? But his haya never allowed him to remove his garment to take a bath. Modesty would prevent him from standing up straight. You see, our way of bathing is to sit, because we're using a bucket. So we sit. Right? The kuffar way of bathing, what they have brought about now is the shower. You shower, you stand. When you stand, more of your body is exposed. When you're sitting, less of your body is exposed. So he would never stand to take a bath. Now, not to say that it's not permissible to remove your clothing and take a bath. It's permissible. You can remove your clothing and take a bath. But this was his level of haya, that he didn't want to be unclothed even in front of himself. And you'll find a person with haya, Now say, for example, you had a bath. Now, after you bath, quickly the person will wrap the towel around himself. He won't stay in that condition. Right? And then quickly he will put on his lower garment for the man. He'll put on his lower garment so that from his navel to below his knee is now covered. Right? Now whatever else he needs to do, dry his hair, this, but you know his satr is covered. His body is covered. A lady also, she should keep something like a caftan or something, the bath. You finish bathing, put that thing on. If a person removed their clothes to have a bath. Now, cover yourself. Because now you don't need your body to be uncovered. You only needed your body to be uncovered while you were bathing. Now, as soon as you finish bathing now, cover yourself up. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, he wouldn't even remove his clothing. Right? And he would never stand up straight when having a bath, always seated, crouched. Another example of his modesty was narrated by Banana, who was his wife's slave woman. She said, when Uthman radiallahu ta'ala would take a ghusl, so I would bring his clothing, and he would say to me, do not look at me. Do not look at me. It's not permissible for you. Don't look at me. There are ahadith of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which speak of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's modesty. Right? With regards to his chastity, his avoidance of bad behavior, there are abundant reports that point to that. He did not commit immoral deeds even in Jahiliyyah. In Islam definitely, but even in Jahiliyyah, he never committed immoral deeds. Naturally, Allah Ta'ala made him a person like that, full of haya. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala said, I was never involved in singing. I never spoke lies, and I never touched my private part with my right hand from the time I took bay'at to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I never drank alcohol even during Jahiliyyah. Even in Islam, in the early days when it wasn't haram, in Islam also I never drank, in Jahiliyyah also I never drank. And I never committed zina. Although in that zamana, in Jahiliyyah, zina was the order of the day. But I never committed zina, even in Jahiliyyah. Never ever committed zina. This was his haya. There is one incident. Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a relaxed condition, you know, leaning against something, sitting. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, he remained like that. Umar radiallahu anhu came, he remained like that. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu came. When Uthman radiallahu anhu came, Nabi Sallam set up, straightened his clothing. So later on, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned, I think by one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen or somebody, I'm not sure, can't remember exactly who asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Abu Bakr Ranon came, you just carried on sitting, Umar Ranon came, you carried on sitting, Usman Ranon came, now you. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, should I not be modest in front of one, even the Malaika are modest in front of him. Such is his modesty. The person who got that level of modesty, now if he sees you lying down like that, he feel uncomfortable. Although there's nothing wrong. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the ayat of that also. Then Uthman radiallahu anhu's generosity, right? This is proverbial, his generosity. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was one of the most generous of this ummah. There are many reports which speak of this, and they form a bright page in the history of Islam. We have already seen what he did for the campaign to Tabuk, right? And how he bought the well of Ruma, Bi'r Ruma, he purchased and he gave it to the Muslim, made it waqf. How he expanded Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the time of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How he gave a caravan of food in charity at the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. From the time he became Muslim, he freed one slave every week. Every week he freed a slave fi sabilillah. All in all, he freed 2,400 slaves in his life. 2,400 slaves. It was narrated that Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala, who was one of the most generous of people, Talha Rinan was very, very generous also. Right? Very generous. It is mentioned with regards to him, one day he distributed 100,000 dirhams. He sold one property once for 600,000 or 700,000 dirhams. Right? By morning, he had nothing of that money left. He gave it all away. Everything he distributed. So this was his generosity. But Talha radiallahu anhu owed Uthman radiallahu anhu 50,000. Right? Probably dirhams. Talha radiallahu anhu said to him one day that your money is ready, come take it. Your 50,000 I got by me, come and fetch it. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala said to him, keep it as a reward for your bravery. Keep it as a gift from me. Uthman radiallahu anhu's generosity was a basic feature of his personality. He used his wealth in the service of Allah Ta'ala's deen, and he was not stingy in helping to establish the Islamic state, in establishing jihad for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and in making khidmat e-khalq, serving the people, right? Seeking thereby the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You know, up to this day, the awqaf of Uthman radiallahu anhu is still present. They are accountants. There's a whole group that manage the awqaf of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Till today, Uthman radiallahu anhu got an account on his name. Right? He's got properties. All that were made waqf. Properties that till today generate income and good deeds are done with it. Right, different now, this group, whoever is assigned to that work, so whatever the income comes, they use it for this khairat, that khairat, whatever, taking care of widows, orphans, building madrasas, whatever they do with it. Right? So this is what you call barakat, right? Now, I remember when I was much younger, so I used to see the Islamic schools. Right? Islamic schools, in those days they just started off, Islamic schools. So they used to have dinners, fundraising dinners. Right? Now they'll get one guest speaker to come there. And unfortunately, these fundraising dinners were all on table and chair. Right? Then slowly, the fundraising dinners became boring. Because it's just a talk and a dinner. So then they started having a fashion show. Some schools. So they get the children now to fashion the cloaks. And, you know, then they started having like auctions. Now we're auctioning this cloak or auctioning this artifact or whatever. At that time, it didn't sit right with me, you know. But we were young. But it just never sat right with me that why do we need to do all these things? Right? If you trust in Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will send the money. If Allah Ta'ala, if it's a cause that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with, then Allah Ta'ala will send the funds. Why do we need to do like professional kind of begging, like, you know? It's like a professional kind of a begging. So, one, two times I had spoken out about that. Then, also what used to happen in society is whenever there's a tragedy somewhere, whether it's due to war or natural disaster or whatever, so now the ladies of the town will get together. We're having a flea market, proceeds are going to go to Palestine. Or we're having this and the proceeds will go there. Or we're having a dinner and the proceeds are going to go there. Right? And I used to think that, can you not just take your money and give it? Why do you need to buy a dinner ticket? Those people are starving there. They're starving there. Why not just take out your money and contribute it to them? Has the ummah become so stingy, right? Has the ummah become so bakhil that you will only part with your money if you're going to get something in return? You only part with your money if you're going to get some entertainment in return, or you're going to get some food in return, or you're going to get something else in return. Otherwise, you're not prepared to part with your money. No, you should give your money. Sahaba, they didn't have dinners and all that. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam just made an announcement, and whoever wanted to give whatever amount they wanted to give, they went forward and they gave it. Right? So now I see big companies and all that. So they say, no, we got a relief organization. Relief fund. Right? So now, to get money for the relief fund, then we're having dinners, and we're having auctions, and we're having this, and we're having that. Now, what's the need to do all of that? The relief work that you want to do is nafal. Is nafal. And in order to fulfill that nafal, you are getting engaged in haram. Right? So how does it make sense? So the other day, sometime, you know, we think, hey, maybe my thinking is off, you know, like, maybe these people are doing wonderful work and now I'm condemning them and whatever. But then, Allah Ta'ala, in His mercy, He guides us, you know. So the other day, there's a group of brothers, Allah give them desire khair. So every now and again what they do is, they will, like say Eid is coming up. So they will choose some bayans that Hazrat Mawlana Ispatir Sahib Rahmatullah they gave on Eid, and they will send it out. So you listen to his advices, or anything like, you know, like say Ashura is coming, now they'll take his bayan on Ashura and send it out, etc. So the other day, I think it was Thursday or something, so they sent out a few clips of Hazrat Mawlana Ispatir Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So in there he was speaking about fundraising, you know, to do charitable works. And he mentioned that to the effect, and maybe not the exact words, but the mafhum, the lesson he was giving, is that there is no need to get involved in haram in order to do charitable works. Right? And where is Allah Pak going to accept that now? Allah Pak didn't tell you to go do haram. Allah is the one who takes, He's the Razzaq. Right? So He didn't ask you to go do haram. From your halal activities and your halal wealth, take out money and give. Allah will reward you on that. But Allah Pak didn't ask you to do haram in order to give charities now with that haram money. And the other point Hazrat made, which is a very, very important thing for us to adopt in our lives, you know. He said, you see, sometimes you have a good intention, but the action is bad. A good intention doesn't make a bad action good. In order for a deed to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala, the intention must be good and the deed also must be good. Right? Then it will be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. We can't make our good intentions. Right? Say for example now, if we have to decide, let's see, which are the people in Tokozane, it's cold now, winter is coming, so we need some blankets, man. It's cold for them. Let's do a collection and get some blankets and things, and we can give it to them. You know, it's a good deed. Right? To get the blankets and give them is a good deed. So now, how are we going to get the blankets? Now, we don't want to dig deep into our own pockets and say that, right, let's take out our own money. Let me cut out certain luxuries of mine and let me take some own money and go buy the blankets and give it. No, I don't want to do that. And if I just go buy 10 blankets and give it, nobody is going to notice me. I won't make a big name for myself. Right? So now what I do now, I say, look here, man. Hey, we are in the madrasa. We got a big land here. Let's have a flea market, man. Right? Let's have a flea market. And what we'll do is, we'll have stalls, right? And we'll charge for the stall, right? So each person that wants to come have a stall here, we will charge for the stall. So we make a price, maybe 5,000 rand a stall or whatever, and we advertise it that, look, none of this money is going in our pocket. All this money is going for charity, right? So now we make a big flea market here in the madrasa. And we get all people to come, food stalls, clothing stalls, sweet stalls, whatever. And now, men, ladies, everything mixed up here in the madrasa, right? Now, is that permissible? It's not permissible. Right? It's not permissible for the men and ladies all mixed up, they're coming shopping here and all that. Some ladies, the hair is open, so all them wearing tight clothing, men are looking at the ladies, all that is not permissible, right? But now we have this big market here. Anybody come tell us, hey, bhai, you know what you doing? Say, bhai, see here. Our intention is to buy blankets for the people in Tokozani. What are you talking about? Look at the good that we're doing. We're buying blankets for the people in Tokozani. We're not taking a cent from here. Right? So now we collect 100,000 rand. We collect 100,000. We had all the stalls, everybody 5,000, 5,000, we collect 100,000, right? And it didn't cost us anything because we needed tents now. So we just go to the person who does tents. He says, this is for a charitable cause. It's not for us. That person says, right, no problem, tents from my side, right? Whatever we need, we go to the people, we say, see, it's a charitable cause. So they just give you and say, right, no NC, no charge, right? And they give it to you. And now so whatever monies we made from the stalls is all net profit, right? So now we made maybe 100,000, 150,000, right? Now how many blankets we can buy now? A lot of blankets we bought now. Now we can put a big article now, right? And we can make a video now when we go to distribute those blankets now. We can make a video. Hey, everybody see now. Look at this whole truck of blankets. Hey, we went door to door. We gave all these people blankets. Right? So we're making a name for ourselves. We're feeling good about ourselves. But how did we acquire that money? In a way that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. And when we do charitable works, then the left hand mustn't know what the right hand did. Right? But now we're making a big hoo-ha about this thing now. No, we are a relief. Ishaatul Haq Relief Foundation, we are. Right? Now see all the work we did. See how much work. See, there's a video. What we did. We gave that again. So now we're showing off our good deed. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Right? Now what would have been more acceptable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? You went quietly. You could afford to buy 2 blankets. That's the amount of money you got. You can buy 2 blankets. Quietly you went, you bought the 2 blankets. You went to Tokozane. You found 2 poor families. And you gave them one blanket. Nobody knows anything. You took your halal money. You didn't get involved in any haram, nothing. You went and you gave your 2 blankets. That may be more weightier on the scale of deeds than your whole truck of blankets that you gave, but in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. The money was acquired in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Understand? So when I heard those clips, then it put my heart at ease. Then no, the same thing, our akabirin are also saying the same thing. You know? Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته